to improve the listening and the speaking skills in the workplace. The sailing school and the secluded beach located there aren't too shabby. And all this to say is that in the workplace, outside of the workplace, communication is necessary for human beings. It's a way of life. And for any society, for any workplace, for any marriage, for any church to function, there must be communication. This involves speaking, and this involves listening. And I want to address this topic this morning, this topic of communication, listening, and speaking. I want to address this for two main reasons. First, I suspect that most of us think we're much better at communication than we actually are. I know this is true for myself in particular. The truth is that we could all use a little bit of help in this area. Perhaps our spouse or our children could attest to this. Secondly, this topic very rarely lands on our radar. As a result of the first reason, we don't typically discuss this topic. It's not on the forefronts of our minds. I believe as well that because of the scriptures teaching in this, a few tweaks can take us a long way in improving. So how many times have you been misunderstood? How frustrating have some of those times been? How many times have you erred in listening? Have you misunderstood someone else? What if we could listen a little bit better? So there is wisdom in improving our communication. And there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I need to be a better communicator. And there's many excellent tips out there. There's tons of stuff in books and magazines on the internet, using action verbs, utilizing questions, watching nonverbals. Indeed, we know that all of these good things are from above, from the Father of lights who gives us every good and perfect thing. But this morning we turn to the Proverbs to see some very hands-on, very practical wisdom for being better communicators. What does God teach us about wisdom for communication? Well, this morning we'll learn of six keys to effective communication. We do this so that we can speak and listen for the glory of God. This too ought to be done to bring glory to our Lord. There's an outline in your bulletin. This may help you follow along as we jump from proverb to proverb, working our way through these keys. The keys are split pretty evenly. There's three that address speaking, and there's three that address listening. And to get things started, we'll look at the first key, key number one this morning. Good communicators speak honestly. The first key to communication is to be an honest speaker. Good communication, we might say, is dependent upon truth. Proverbs 23, verses 15 to 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. This proverb begins with my son. This is a father addressing his son, passing on fatherly wisdom. Indeed, much of the book of Proverbs is a father speaking words of wisdom, imparting them to his son. And it pleases the father when his son applies the wisdom that he hears. Mark Twain has said, quote, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have him around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. That is to say, in a backwards way, that parents have wisdom for their children. And that wisdom received changes the child. In verse 15, there's a delight held by the teacher. The father's delight is that his son is listening and learning. he's receiving that communication. But there's more in this passage. If you look at verse 16, the father delights in honesty, speaking what is right. And I just want to encourage you believers this morning that your heavenly Father rejoices when you speak what is right, when you are honest. This is a world filled with lies and deceit. It's filled with gossip and broken promises. God delights when his children are honest, when they use their words for his glory. Proverbs 12, verse 22, those who deal truthfully are his delight. In fact, this might even be the reputation we seek. Do we not want to be known then as people who deal honestly? Certainly in our relationships with one another, but much more importantly before our Lord, to be known as people that tell the truth. This idea of honesty, it really greases the wheels of communication. We can hardly speak well to others if they're always wondering if we're telling the truth, or if we have some reputation for dishonesty and lying. That's not what we are going for. It'll be a hindrance to good communication. So a reputation for honesty and reputation for truth, these are necessary for good communication. Secondly, our second key this morning, good communicators speak faithfully. Good communicators speak faithfully. Proverbs 13, verse 17. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Here we're introduced to someone called the messenger. This guy will make his appearance in Proverbs from time to time, the messenger. Now, in the ancient Near East, a time long ago, the messenger was a very significant person. And again, we have to go back to a time before emails, before texting, before phone calls, before the postal service. We have to go back to a time before Morse code and smoke signals. Messengers were needed to physically deliver a message. It was back in the mid-1970s, a professor did some excellent research on these individuals. It's quite fascinating what they were up to. Now, these were a bunch of people that had to be well-trained. Messengers had to know it all. They had to know other languages. They had to speak other languages. They had to write other languages. They served in various roles. They served in kings at the upper echelon of society. They had to know all these positions in which they would serve. They were diplomats, soldiers, royal agents. A messenger was a military governor, even an intelligence agent. Now, if they were in our modern-day government, we'd slap all kinds of acronyms on these guys. They'd work in the UN, the USM, the WHS, and the CIA. We find them in the Bible. In the Bible, King David's significant sin employed the royal messenger to bring it about. And navigating through enemy territory, the messenger brought Uriah the Hittite to the throne of David. Following Uriah's death, Commander Joab sent a messenger to King David. He sent a private oral message for the king's ears only. So these messengers had to be faithful. The king's messenger was also authoritative. They often held a very high position in the kingdom. They knew the king's deepest thoughts. They were privy to secretive information. They handled business transactions, prisoner transport, political decisions. The king gave them great authority to speak. In the Bible, we see John the Baptist as such a messenger. He was announcing the king, "Behold, I send my messenger before you." He went before Jesus Christ. "Make ready the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." So the messenger faithfully communicated to the king. Well, what's the point of all this? How does this apply to me today? Well, the Christian is a messenger for the king. he or she, you and I, were ambassadors for God. In Proverbs 13, verse 17, there's a contrast between two types of messenger. There's the wicked messenger and there's the faithful messenger. As communicators on behalf of Christ, we want to be in that latter group. We want to be the faithful messenger, the faithful communicator. In the first half of the verse, we find the wicked. They fall into adversity. They fail. They forget. Whatever it is, they're a disappointment both to the king and to their recipients. But the faithful envoy brings healing. The faithful messenger is a blessing. And this mark of faithfulness, this is fundamental to biblical Christianity. Christians are faithful. Every believer, as I've said, is a messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us to be faithful. And let me tell you, when you are this way, it is a blessing to other people to have someone reliable, dependable in their communication. It's refreshing. People can be counted on both to speak and to listen. It's no small thing. We must not overlook that. There's a sweetness in dependable communication, in our marriages, in church service, in the workplace. I just listened to Proverbs 25, verse 13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. And yes, you heard that text correctly. The Bible did indeed describe snow as refreshing. I know some of you strongly oppose snow. This is hard to imagine. But we got to go to the context here. In the ancient Near East, harvest time would be a particularly hot time of year. So in that moment, to have some snow, this cold of snow, would be a welcome refreshment. I think we get the point. In a similar way, the faithful messenger refreshes those who send him. Those who are dependable, those who are reliable, refresh others in their communication. Faithfulness, a good key to communication. Well, thirdly, I want us to see another key, key number three. Good communicators speak diligently. Good communicators speak diligently. And I say this because good communication doesn't just happen. It's not automatic. It takes hard work and it takes effort to be a good communicator. George Bernard Shaw says it this way. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. In fact, some studies have shown that after a 10-minute oral presentation, the average listener has understood and retained 50% of what was said. So already after 10 minutes, only half of what was being spoken is retained. So that means 4 minutes ago, I'm now battling your retention rate to get it back up to 50%. So I had better be diligent in my communication. I want to show you this in Proverbs. That's what we're looking at here this morning. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Good communicators speak diligently. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. Now, this proverb is a simile. It's a comparison. Smoke and vinegar are like a lazy man. Well, how so? Well, in this passage, this particular vinegar is wine that has become acidic. And we can presume that back in this day, there was no grand dental insurance plan. People in the ancient Near East had a lot of teeth problems. The effect would be irritation. This acidic vinegar put on the teeth is irritation. And when it comes to smoke in the eyes, I think many of us can identify with that. I personally suffer from chronic smoke attraction. This means that whenever I get near a campfire, that campfire blows toward me wherever I sit. Smoke in my eyes is the outcome. Hurt and tears flow. So the lazy one has this effect on people. Some of your Bibles translate him as a sluggard. These sluggards, these lazy people, are consistently given a very unfavorable review in Proverbs. It's almost comedic the way they describe the sluggard. They have the worst excuses. Proverbs 26, verse 13, there's a lion in the road. He's saying, that's like us saying today, I can't go to work because I might get in an accident. They're the laziest of creatures. 26, verse 14, he turns on his bed like a door on its hinges. One commentator has noted, these sluggards don't begin things, they don't finish things, they don't face things. They're restless in life, they're helpless in affairs, and they're useless to others. Well, you bring all this together, the proverb becomes clear. The lazy communicator causes aggravation and irritation. And just as vinegar and smoke frustrate the body, so too does the sluggard or the lazy man frustrate communication. And this is a call for us to put work and to put effort into our communication, to put thought into how we speak to one another. It takes effort to be clear and to be understood. And in the grace of God, the more we put work into this, the more reliable we are, the more honest our message, the better we are at communicating. Well, that's one side of the communication coin. A quick overview from Proverbs. That addresses the speaking side. We also want to look at three more keys that address the listening side. Very practical wisdom from the book of Proverbs this morning. Key number four, good communicators listen to God. Good communicators listen to God. This has to do with priorities. Listening skills are forged in the furnace of the Word of God. 28, verse 9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So if we wish to be good listeners, we need to start with God's word. The strength of that relationship will flow into all other relationships. The wise will place a high value on the Bible. We get up in the morning and we get listening. What does God have for us? Reading his word, listening to its message. Verse 9 here has an ethical aspect as well. In other words, in the Bible, this idea of listening always has to do with doing. And I think we understand this. If you ask a child to pick up the toys in his room and you come back an hour later, and those toys are not picked up, did that child listen to you? The child may say yes. Oh, I heard you. I listened to you. But we would argue, no, you didn't, because you didn't do it. This is how the Bible presents listening. It's this idea of both hearing and then doing. This proverb also reminds us of God's view of prayer. If we're going to expect God to hear from us, we better be hearing from God. God will not listen to those who do not listen to him, is another way of saying it. So, good listening begins with our attention to God, or we dialed into what he is saying. At the same time, we want to give our fellow man a similar respect. Good communicators, key number five, listen attentively. Good communicators listen attentively. Chapter 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. We're to use both sight and sound, the faculties God has given us, to communicate. God has graciously given us both the ear and the eye as gifts. We're called to use them appropriately. Good communicators do indeed use both the ear and the eye, listening to words and tone, watching body language, giving people the dignity of full attention. Listen to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Just as love to God begins with listening to his word, So the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. It is God's love for us that he not only gives us his word, but he also lends us his ear. So it is his work that we do for our brother when we listen to him. Listening can be a greater service than speaking. That is to say, simply listening to people can mean the world to them. And I might even argue that your best speaking is going to come after you listen. Not interrupting people, not assuming you know what they're saying, not even formulating your response in their mind as they're talking. Quietly listening to people with the ear and with the eye, full attention, the mind locked in. Now, good listening requires attention. It needs the eye, it needs the ear, as we've said. And I might even say that in this age of the smartphone and the TV, we have made this a challenge for ourselves. But you can literally make someone's day by listening well. Because I believe so often people just want to be heard. They just want someone to talk to, someone who will listen to them. And it may not be the world's most glorious ministry, but even listening to people is an act of love. Jesus has said, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Attentive listening is like a cup of cold water to the soul. And there's reward from Christ for meeting just basic needs that people have. And attentive listening is a blessing. Well, I'll look at our final key for communication this morning. It's key number 6, good communicators listen patiently. Good communicators listen patiently. In Proverbs 18, verse 13, the author writes, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and shame to him. And James 1:19 says it this way, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak. Well, as you look through the book of Proverbs, you'll find that the fool has very little interest in helping others. He's very impulsive. He's preoccupied with his own thoughts, ready to share them with the world. But patient listeners are wise. They are not like the fool. They hear the whole matter before replying. They give the speaker respect, and they comprehend the point of the message. Good listeners bless then with their words. Well, in summary, this morning, the wise seek to be good communicators. They listen patiently, attentively. They listen to God first and foremost. They speak honestly and faithfully, and they put effort into their speech. The wise seek to be like Jesus Christ. We may even say it that way. Jesus was a master communicator. I mean, keep in mind, our Lord never earned a degree. He certainly never went on a corporate retreat to Captiva Island to improve his speaking skills. But he was an expert in both speaking and listening. And that's because he loved people. He loved them selflessly. He loved them enough to speak to them honestly. And he loved them enough to listen to them. Just think about this for a moment. Jesus always told the truth. He spoke honestly. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who else was saying that? Jesus gave people the truth. He spoke faithfully. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As God's messenger, he brought words of refreshment to people in desperate need. And he spoke diligently. In the garden, he was praying very fervently. You remember this scene. His sweat became like drops of blood falling upon the ground. He was laboring with great effort to speak in prayer even to his Father. Well, Jesus was the perfect listener. He listened to God first and foremost. John 14:31, I do exactly as the Father commands. He listened attentively. We know the scene. Let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me. His ear even towards the lower classes of society. And he listened patiently. This Canaanite woman sought him out. The text says, but he did not answer her a word. He just listened to her heart. What a communicator. And what a Christ. And what an example for you and I as we struggle sometimes to speak. Pay attention and listen. We always have the Lord to look to as a great Christ, as a great communicator, as an example to follow. So as his followers, I just encourage you to communicate as the Lord did. May we speak and may we listen like our Lord. And in my excitement to share that message with you today, I blew over our prayer time. So I'd like to spend a few more minutes this morning as we prepare for communion in prayer before our Lord. Bow with me for a few moments. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of the Lord's day. And thank you for the blessing of the Lord's house. And thank you for the blessing of the Lord's people. We've gathered here this morning, Lord, to worship you in song, to hear from you in your word. And we expect to leave here now, perhaps changed, encouraged, comforted, maybe even challenged. Lord, it's my prayer that wherever we are in our lives, wherever we are in our sanctification, I pray, Father, that you would meet our needs. Use the gathering of the body of Christ to build us up, to sanctify us and purify us. Convict us of sin and cause us to repent. I pray that the songs of worship, both sung and heard, would be refreshing to our souls as we lift up hearts of gratitude unto you. And I pray that as we hear your word, Lord, there would indeed be practical application in this, that we would get good at both hearing your word and understanding how to apply it. We need great help in this, and we're so thankful that your grace is always there. You're always freely giving more and more grace. And I pray, Father, that we would take hold of that and take hold of the message and grow. I think about the many needs that exist in this church this morning. There are some who are missing, who long to be here. There's some who are not here, who wish to be no other place but here. Lord, though they're unable, I pray, Father, that you'd encourage them today, that you would heal their bodies as they perhaps fight illness and sickness. I pray for those, Father, who are not here, for those who don't want to come. I pray that you would change their heart, that you would do what you need to in their lives to convict them of sin and draw them back into that pure and joyful relationship with Jesus Christ. For all who don't know you, may those who do boldly share the gospel, proclaim the truth as ambassadors and as messengers. As we gather around your table, Father, to celebrate your son's death and resurrection, I pray you prepare our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would remember the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made during this special time, that we would be thankful and grateful for all that Jesus has done, and that we would be hopeful and joyful and encouraged as we look ahead, as we look to the return of Jesus Christ, proclaiming his name until he comes. Father, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.